WBDG 90.9. It's interview time, everybody, with our two amazing guests. Introduce yourselves, please.
I'll let you go first because you're older.
So I'm the age before beauty. Hi, Brian Barnhill, WBDG class of 1986.
And Tom Paws, class of 87. So we did the first two marathons.
Honestly, that's thinking about that is great. Like, honestly, just the time difference, the time gap of how things were then as to how things were now. How would you describe your experiences then versus, you know, like the ever-changing radio?
Well, and Tom can talk about it too, because we both spent
You need to talk directly into it.
Yeah, this is not getting
is better. Oh, it's not an old.
Oh, there you are.
Right?
No,
yeah,
you're
it's
yeah.
Very yeah. So you can tell how long I've been away from headphones and microphones.
I understand that.
It was a great learning experience for us coming through. Tom and I both spent a few years in commercial radio after Ben Davis. So I left here and went to WIBC radio, which was, at the time was the top AM talk station in town. Did some work on their FM, which is the 93.1 frequency. Tom joined about a year later and was doing kind of the same thing. But we started as rookies, you know, at the bottom of the totem pole, producing, gophering, making coffee for people. We talked about the difference in the equipment, right? Pulling what were tape, you know, analog tape cartridges out of racks and stacked up, because that was the order, whether it was music or commercials or other, you know, on-air material or on tapes. So we were, you know, prepping those for the disc jockeys and the various hosts and working with those staffs in that kind of capacity.
Yeah, we didn't have all the digital. We didn't have computers. We didn't have the ease of just pushing a button. Much more involved. But yeah, there was quite a bit different then than now. I think the thing that stays the same though, and you guys got some names on that wall out there. You should take that in a little bit. We were talking about that when we were coming through, and it's amazing some of the people that are still active, obviously in media in Indianapolis now, that have passed through these hallways. And I mean, we're just a couple of guys that hung out and played radio, right? We're not on TV. I'm not broadcasting the Indy 500 next or at the end of the month or anything like that. But we've had the opportunity to interact with those people. So take that in, because any one of you. You know, you don't know. You may be sitting next to the next big thing to come out of Ben Davis.
Probably, honestly.
Love the confidence.
But would you? This is really just like a personal question for me. Do you think that you would rather have computers? Like, if you could have had computers back then, would you have wanted computers, or do you think that the way that things worked back then was just like better?
I want the computer guy to answer that question, and I'm going to tell you what I think.
Yeah, I'm torn, because I am a technology guy, and coming up through school at the time, computers were still relatively new, and they weren't in every household. But that was a fixation and kind of a thing that I had a passion for. So I was a computer guy, but I still love the analog, hands-on stuff. And for a few years after graduation, production was the thing that I really most enjoyed. And there's nothing like sitting in a studio and recording multiple tracks on a piece of tape, slicing the tape with a razor blade and taping it together literally taping it with, you know, masking tape or scotch tape, and getting a final produced piece of material to put on the air. That's the coolest thing that I ever experienced, and I loved every minute of the analog life. I would love to have the experience of being able to work with this stuff, and I never did.
And interestingly enough, I got to do both. The hands-on part of it, you never get tired of that, because like Brian said, you built that with your hands. Okay. I mean, you recorded it, you put it on a piece of tape, you played the tape, you sat there for literally hours in a studio finding the exact place where you're going to cut it. You had a grease pencil, you marked it, you pulled it off, you sat it on a block and you slit it with a razor blade, you took a piece out, put pieces together. Yeah, that's hard to replace just because of that hands-on experience of it. You've got something similar when you do your production on you guys got Pro Tools or whatever you have. It's similar, but you're looking at it on a screen, so you're moving a mouse. But that physical aspect of it was always really cool. And I think that's always something that just kind of sticks with you once you've done. It's kind of like queuing up records. I mean, you guys don't have to do that either, you know?
I mean,
so, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I feel really old now.
Well, that's the evolution, man, and it's cool.
Do you guys have any songs that you would like love playing back then?
I don't remember.
So 86 would have been, let's see, Bon Jovi came out in 86. Brian was always a Michael Jackson fan. I don't know. And he was a big Prince fan, too. So
I'll live up to the Prince stuff. Maybe it's stretching it with the Michael Jackson.
But, yeah, I mean, in the 80s, and I think that's what was so great about the 80s was the music. Honestly, for us and for me, even as an old guy, when I listen to music, I still like listening to 80s music, like the 60s, like the 70s, can appreciate a good chunk of the 90s, and then about 2006, you start to lose me a little bit. It gets a little weird.
I understand.
But the 80s were so great because there's so many one-hit wonders. There's just so much library in there. You know, that's when hair metal started. That's when all the rock crossing over into pop and kind of blending a whole bunch of different genres that all of a sudden ended up in your top 40. And I think that's the best time for music, honestly, in the history of music at this point. You know, there was a lot of creativity. It was wide, it was open. I like the heavier stuff. I like a good crunchy guitar. You were playing Soundgarden. I can dig that.
Oh yeah.
I can be all about that all day long. But I think when you get into some of the hair metal stuff, and you get into the Poison and the Def Leppard and Bon Jovi and bands like that, I think that just kind of made the 80s what it was. I mean, it really did.
Speaking of Soundgarden, rest in peace, Chris Cornell.
Oh, absolutely.
He's been gone for a minute. I discovered his music like last year, and it's like blown my mind.
Got to see him live the week before he passed.
I wish.
Yeah, it was solid. It was again a moment in your time that you don't realize how important it is when it happens, you know. But yeah, a week before he passed, saw him live in Louisville.
What was he like? Like, did you like meet him? Or?
No, I didn't get to meet him. I just saw a show. But it was him, and it wasn't the band. It was just him doing a side project. Did a lot of songs, obviously Soundgarden songs, Temple of the Dog songs, several different songs. But yeah, good show. Good show. Good dude. Yeah.
I wish I could have been there, honestly.
Yep.
I think that would have been like a, what is the word? A defining point in my life. Meeting Chris Cornell, if I could.
Right.
You know, would be amazing. Speaking of meeting celebrities, you know, you know, you two are world famous, you know. World famous.
Small world.
Very small world. Thank goodness for Facebook.
If there was one celebrity that you could meet, living, dead, doesn't matter. If you could meet them, who would it be?
You go first. I'm going to have to think a minute.
I got to think a minute, too. I've met, I've been fortunate enough to work in radio and meet some rock stars. So none of those make the list because most of them are all you can imagine. They're not. But I always enjoyed the people that did the voices. And when I was a kid coming up, as crazy as this sounds to this day, I said this once before, probably 30 years ago, Shadow Stevens had that voice. And he voiced game shows and, I mean, he did AT40, American Top 40 for a while. He did all kinds of stuff. But that's what you always wanted. You just wanted that full, rich, deep voice. And I think those are the kind of people that I always gravitated to because I just love to hear the richness, the deepness, the voice. And those are the coolest things. And there's a dude now that I had the pleasure to do some work with who still does it, and he's got that voice. His name's Ed Weigel, and he does the voice for WWE stuff and things like that. He's just got that voice, and I think it's awesome. I love it.
I think from a media perspective, it's hard to pinpoint that, and part of it is because of what Tom said. We've been fortunate to meet a lot of people. Oh, in
they're bragging, guys.
It's not bragging.
Yeah, it's not bragging.
Trust me, you know, starstruck, speechless, unable to, you know, behave rationally. In some cases.
I believe it, honestly.
But you also learn with the experience of that is, it's just a guy, it's just a gal sitting across from you having a conversation.
Yeah.
And so that was early lessons for me in the media world, is just treat people like people and you get the best of them.
Yep. Absolutely.
There's something to that.
Yeah.
I like absolutely. That.
So I'm going to flip the microphones. What about you? What are your aspirations and goals? What are the things you'd like to accomplish coming out of here?
Coming out of here? You know, honestly, I don't know. I want to go to college for radio, but at the same time, I'm thinking, what if the fire I have for radio is gone? What do I do then? You know, I definitely want to make money. Obviously, everybody wants to make money. But like,
you got to keep the lights on.
I just like, I don't know where I would go, because if radio is not like, it's not leaving. Everybody has a car. Everybody has a radio. But I'm just like, there's got to be something more, you know,
it's podcasting. Always evolving. Yeah. You know, it's always evolving.
Stuff like that. I don't know. Right now?
It's hard. And, you know, and I ask because I don't know that I had planned aspirations. I didn't want to accomplish specific things when I was in your seat. But I think I approached it with an open mind and the willingness to go where life and opportunity let me go. And so that was, you know, it's been good for me. And it led away from radio.
Yeah.
I mean, I was only, you know, left here with the same passion and excitement, and this was what I was going to do. And within 5 or 6 years, I really wasn't in the business anymore. But I've missed it every single day since then.
Aww.
And to come back and sit behind a microphone today, it's probably the first time behind a microphone in any real sense for me in a couple of decades. But no, it's,
for me, it's just the other day.
Just a podcast.
We do a podcast though.
So you know, from a life experience, and I ask it, you know, just from a, don't be afraid to keep the passion, but let the passion let you evolve into other things if that's where life goes.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's good advice. I mean, I was fortunate to spend about 30 years what I affectionately call playing radio. For those 30 years, provided a great living for me and my family. Got to do some pretty exciting stuff. Got to play and enjoy what I did every single day. And I think when you spend that much time doing it, you don't necessarily open yourself up to what else could you enjoy? What else could you, you know, venture off and try? And you do, you gravitate back to the, because I don't care what anybody says, no matter how long you've done this, whether you've done it for a week, a month, a year, a lifetime, it's a bug. It's like being a musician. It's the same thing. You thrive in that environment. And there's so many aspects to this business, whether it's on air, whether it's production, whether it's behind the scenes, whether it's sales, whether it's, you know, whatever element it is. I knew people that spent years on the air and became accountants at radio stations because they wanted to be an accountant.
That's money, though.
Well, I know, I mean, it's a business. Obviously, it's a business. Obviously, there's opportunity, and when you get into the business of radio, it's getting smaller because of consolidation, and you know, there's only a handful of people that own all of it, all the big stuff, but. There's still some small stations out there. There's still some small groups out there that you could get, you can play. You can play. And I always called it playing. I never called it working because that's what it was for me. It was just like I couldn't wait to get up and go in the morning to go to my job. And that's a great feeling to have. And I would encourage you that no matter what that path takes you down, just follow it. See where it goes. It'll be awesome.
Well, do you have any tips for anybody up and coming in like the audio industry?
Yeah, I get ready to eat a lot of beans. there aren't any high paying gigs in this when you start out. Get ready to get your, you know, you're going to get your chops busted. You're going to hear some harsh criticism, and I think that's what makes you better. Take it all in. Don't ever take it personally. Look at it as an opportunity to grow. Every time you get critiqued, every time you work for somebody that says, hey, try this, try it. It may work for you, it may not, but you tried it. And be open to that. Always be open to just new ideas and new approaches, because it's an evolving business. You know, the way they did it when we were kids, it ain't the same today. And you know, the whole approach isn't the same. The whole presentation is different. And so just be open, be open to learning, be open to taking it in, and then follow your path and just embrace it and go.
What about you, Ryan? What do you think?
I think Tom hit it. It's hard, I guess, in one way to answer the question, because it is so different than we grew up in, right? So it's all digital. It's all internet. You know, I mean, you want to start a radio station? You need a microphone and some music, or a microphone and an opinion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you've got the internet. You don't need a 50,000 watt, $5 million broadcast facility.
Honestly. You've got really anybody can do it.
Anybody can do it.
A couple hundred bucks and a computer.
But not very many people can do it well.
Right. Honestly. That's the
And so it's a craft, and it's a craft to be honed and practiced and refined, and you know, and you get to the top if you keep on that path.
Top of the hour. It's 10 o'clock, everybody. We are in our 26th hour, as far as I know. Yeah. 27th hour of the 40-hour marathon for WBDG 90.9, FMHD1, your station for variety. My final question to you, as individuals, you know, you're both successful, we'd say. Yeah. You know, honest lives. Honest. Yeah. How do you think that your childhood in radio, your childhood going into adulthood, well, whatever, how do you think that has impacted your mind? You said it was good, you loved it, but like, truly, is that
it makes you a different parent, because you try to direct them away from all your bad mistakes. But no, I really think that radio is and theater, and it builds your confidence. So, and I think that's critical, as a grown up, to be confident, to be able to approach things with confidence and have confidence that you can do what you're approaching. And I don't know that I learned that if I wasn't forced to be on a microphone talking to people, formulating thoughts and conveying messages. I think it did a great deal for me, to be confident to speak in front of people as well. Even though you get to hide in here and talk in a microphone is less intimidating than standing in front of 50 people. But I think it does give you that confidence, because you know you can talk. You know you have that ability. The only difference is a crowd or a wall. And I think that's a very valuable lesson, because being able to interact in front of people is a very, very, very strong trait to possess, and very few people possess it well.
And I think the only thing I'd add to that is this. I think this gave me a forum and a way to develop my communication skills with people. I was a shy kid growing up. I wasn't part of the popular crowds and the in groups.
Felt that.
and when I got to Ben Davis and I got into radio and I got into theater, and suddenly I'm with people who are in front of people who want to perform and be characters and communicate and tell stories. And I got to learn from that, from not only people my own age, but the teachers, the people who had lived and done those things, was able to just get a lot of experience and knowledge absorbed through my time with them. So I think that's led me to be a better communicator, a better empathizer, to understand people and where they are and where they're coming from, because none of us come from the same place and none of us have the same experiences. And I got to that realization and honed those abilities by my broadcast time.
You know, I was looking for the clapping sound effect, but you know, I think I'll just do it myself. Everybody clap it up.
For the alumni of 86 and 87,
wisdom awards of Ryan Barnhill and Tom Paws, honestly.